Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician and an addiction medicine specialist.
How clear tonight.
Yes.
Clear and...
concise.
Concise and
well executed.
Elocution, yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I was... You know what I do on Sunday nights? Last night, I watch 60 Minutes and I get angry about the world.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I was watching, they reran that story on that 50 caliber super gun.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One that go through a half-inch plate steel at one mile.
Yeah.
And, of course, you have the NRA a-holes that are like, hey, this got it. No, are you kidding? You want to live in a country? Slippery slope.
Yeah.
First off, this thing, I don't know what, you know, they always do that. Hey, you could use it for hunting. You could use a grenade launcher for hunting, too.
Right, yes.
You could use mines, magnetic mines, just throw them in a lake, bring up thousands of trout
there you
at
go.
Once. Yeah. Anything you could kill with, I imagine you could use for hunting. I guess you could use mustard gas or sarin gas for hunting. Use a nuclear bomb for hunting.
Exactly.
It just, believe me, stuff dies when you use it. But seems to me you don't need a gun that weighs 80 pounds that you got to drag out into the woods.
Right.
And you only need to kill the deer. You don't need to remove its head.
Right.
That's number one and number
kill
two.
And clean it.
And then number three. Listen, if you're going back in time and you're going after a T-Rex or a certain dinosaur, or maybe a woolly mammoth or something, that's something you don't need really for today's animals.
Right.
65-pound worth of deer is going to work nicely with just a bolt action.
Well, you know, this country is focused on the important issues and feeding tubes for somebody that's brain dead.
I had to listen
to that tonight. I was so disturbed.
Drew, you're playing God again, brother. You can't play
I brought
God.
That up to on the CNN.
Put the tube back in her mouth.
I said, like, who's playing God? Who's playing God? The one that keeps the tube in and sustains them? Or the one that lets nature take its course? Who's playing God?
I know, that's what I love. Drew and I were yelling about this on the ride home last night. Actually, Drew was the recipient of my rant on the way home. But, yeah, they do that thing where it's like, you want to take her off the iron lung and pull the breathing tube and take the catheter out of her and let her die? Who decided you could play God? Me play God? She's a marionette. You are essentially animating her with electronics. She would have been, from this period 20 years before today, for the period historically...
Of all human history.
Of all human history, she would be dead in the first 20 minutes. Who's playing God?
Do you know she had brain death as a result of bulimia?
Oh, really?
Now Now listen, the family fighting to keep the tube in
control.
Oh, doesn't it just go right into focus now?
She's been on a feeding tube for 15 years.
She is, and what killed me, they had doctors going on saying, "Oh, she'll be able to move her arms with a little physical therapy." She's decorticate posturing, decerebrate posturing. She will never have motor function.
Well,
ever.
There's
no brain there to create that function.
I'll give you 15 years to make a move. If you haven't made the move in 15 years, I mean, if you've been staring at the same spot in the ceiling for 15 years, I think it's okay to pull the tube out. And I like the fact of, by the way, that we're considered cruel, the ones who want to pull the tube out.
By the
out.
Way, they're going to keep the tube in so she can die of bed sores. Basically, that's what will happen.
Yeah,
she'll
that's
die
great.
Of wounds from the bed, from the pressure of the bed eroding into her buttock and things.
Right.
That's
now
how these people die.
Now, here's the thing. The folks that are worried about her getting the breathing tube pulled out of...
It's not even breathing tube. It's feeding tube.
Yeah, the feeding tube pulled out of basically the yam that is staring at the ceiling for the last 15 years. Look, it's a sad situation.
Yes.
I'm not saying it isn't sad. People die every day. I'm saying give her the dignity of dying. Please. But here's the thing. The same people that want to keep the feeding tube in her are the same people that want to keep the 50 caliber super gun legal, accessible, and available to all Americans with just the showing of a driver's license, and who don't want a database of the people who buy them. Same guy. Same guy in both issues. What is it? So, yeah, the sanctity of life is paramount. On the other hand, why shouldn't the guy get the gun that can take down a commercial aircraft? Who are we to step in the way? Can't play God, can we? Hypocrites. Idiots. And then the ACLU and all the left-wingers are just as bad. But also the guy wants to put the feeding tube back in as the number one guy who's championing the death
guns.
Penalty.
Oh, yeah, death penalty.
Guns and death penalty. Now, yeah. Number one guy for death penalty is also the number one guy who put the tube back in her mouth. That's an interesting guy, isn't it? That's range. They would argue it's not.
I'm just so disturbed that they can get experts, so-called experts, to say that her brain's functioning. It's just no EEG activity.
Yeah.
No structural brain left. It's just... Oh, it could be a miracle. Could be a miracle.
I know.
Could be.
Any day now. Any day. The rapture's coming, and Terry Chavez, she's going to snap out of it and start doing...
Impossible. It's not possible.
True. It's only been 15 years. Give her a break.
People don't understand what that is.
Yeah,
she might as well come back from the dead. That'll be more probable. Come back from the dead.
A freshman in junior college when she originally went under. Please,
that's a long time ago.
It's 15 years.
That's right. Yeah,
that's right. But
45.
All right.
Yeah, she's coming back. Drew.
I got to make some plugs.
Keep her going.
I'm looking for couples for television who have lost their desire to have sex or had difficulty with their sex life since having a baby. Men and women, please call and we will take you for television.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Yeah. You can't play God. No. Sanctity of life. No. Oh, wait a minute. Kill the black guys. They're on death row. Yeah. Put them down. Put a bullet in their head. Okay. Oh, give the guy the 50 caliber gun. And that's fine. And then here's the... all right. Here's all I'm saying, Drew. The right is making me sick. The left makes me sick. Is there any sane middle ground that we can all just join in
it
on?
It doesn't seem to have a big following right now.
It's a majority, but it's not very vocal.
Yeah, it's being swept along.
Here's all I'm saying. I think the majority of Americans do not want a firearm that has no use really for hunting, or if it does, you're insane because there's thousands
of other
firearms.
At least they want to know who's got them. They just want to know who's got
them. I would argue that most Americans, when I say most, I mean 95% of Americans, do not want a gun that can be used to take down a commercial aircraft or assassinate a president through his armored limousine,
right.
Just sold on the open market.
Mm-hmm. As many as they please.
As many as they please with no checking. Okay, that's the majority of Americans. I would also say that the majority of Americans would like to die with dignity,
yes.
If they ever had a horrible brain injury and were rendered a vegetable for 15 years. That's the majority of Americans as well. Are we going to see either one of those things happen? No. I think the majority of Americans would like DNA testing for death row prisoners to get a few unsolved cases off the books. Is that going to happen? Mm. No. I think the majority of Americans would like something different than what we have at the airport as far as security now. Maybe something that involved
profiling.
A little bit of profiling. Yeah, you see the steely-eyed guy from the Middle East in his 30s with the beard down his waist and a six-foot-high turban. I think talking to that guy for an extra 5 minutes would be okay with most Americans. These are all things I think we would all agree on if it was put to a vote. But does it work that way?
No.
You know why? Lobby groups. NRA don't represent anybody, but powerful lobbies.
Yeah.
They give a lot of money. And the politicians are scared assless to do anything about it. So we get the 50 caliber gun that can take an airplane down. Ugh. Fantastic, everybody. And again, does this represent us? Do you know anybody that wants this? And the slippery slope, people, I'd like to just throw you all in a volcano.
Yes.
Slippery slope. Yeah, I don't know. No, here's the thing. You make that illegal, and next thing you know, they're coming. They're coming to your house.
And kids pop gun? They would take him away.
Take kids pop gun
take
away.
Take him away for having a pop gun.
Let me see. What is that, a leather man? Give me that. Take it away. Your wife won't be able to use tweezers to pluck her eyebrows. She have huge eyebrows. Yeah. Slippery slope. And again, you let them pull the feeding tube out of Terry Schiavo, and What's to stop them from killing perfectly healthy people?
Nothing. It's the same thing. How's it different? How's it different, Adam?
There's no difference. There's no difference, Drew. She's been staring at the same spot in the ceiling for 15 years. She's got a feeding tube. And your 12-year-old goes in to get a physical to play Pop Warner football. Doctor loads him up with sodium benzate and puts a pillow on his head.
Perfect.
Takes him out. And
what's
the
difference? There's no difference. Nothing we can do about it.
There's nothing we could do.
Because it's the same thing.
We took Terry's Can't convict him.
No.
Nothing.
We set a precedent. Slippery slope, I tell you.
I'll tell you. There would not be a doctor out there that wasn't killing his patients.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I don't care if you went in for bunions. He'll take you out.
Sure. What's to prevent him?
Nothing. That's slippery slope, Drew. You understand? You won't be able to use a knife or fork in your own home because it could be used as a weapon if we don't get that 50 caliber gun. And our kids would just be snuffed out by their doctors. Pediatricians. Probably never take your kids home from the hospital. Kid would you'd be born into the doctor's arms. He'd drop kick the kid right out the third story window, right into the dumpster.
There you go.
Kill
you.
That's all they do. Doctors would go on a killing spree. Slippery slope. Slippery slope. And then you know what happened. You'd go to the doctor, tell him you were a little depressed. He'd just put a shotgun in your mouth, blow your head off. Nothing you could do. People would just be killing people willy-nilly. That's how it would work. Very slippery slope, Drew. Super slippery. Mm-hmm. Joy?
Hello.
Yeah, 21. Based on the slippery slope retarded idea, we can never do anything.
Right, because everything is slippery
because
slope.
Because it could all be extrapolated 10 million times over into something that might eventually be bad.
Yes.
Fantastic. Joy?
Yeah, okay.
By the way, when did rhetoric become fact?
I have no
idea.
You know
what I'm saying?
What, Drew? What's rhetoric?
Rhetoric means persuasion.
I know what rhetoric is, but yeah, I don't know why. When did retarded arguments become acceptable?
That's what
and
I'm saying.
Who's doing the interviewing? And how come no one ever says, are you high? What do you mean?
Yes.
Because they always do that.
Yes.
And no one ever calls them on it.
Yep.
Go ahead, Joyce. Sorry.
The other day, I actually pulled a muscle in my back. This is what I was told. I actually sneezed and, like, something pulled in my back, and I have scoliosis, so I'm worried that this might actually be from, like, a sexually related injury, and I wonder if it could possibly get any worse, like, throughout.
Hold on.
She pulled a muscle in her back.
You have scoliosis, you sneeze, and what does that have to do with sex?
Well, okay, my boyfriend, when we have sex, he likes to, like, put my legs up, like, over my head, because I'm pretty flexible, even though I do have scoliosis, but, like, after a while, it starts to hurt.
Yeah, no kidding. When you have your ankles at your ears, that's supposed to hurt.
Yeah, and but at the ears, that's the second lap.
Second time around.
They're
going
around twice.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Which is
forming a pure circle. Yeah.
If this is like a long, because it's been a while, it's never happened to me before. Usually I'll have like muscle spasms or something like that, but this was completely out of the blue. I just woke up and.
Well, that happens. But Joy, scoliosis. I used to hear more about scoliosis than I do now. Doesn't everyone have some have mild form of
it? Yes, it's very common.
Do you have to wear a brace or anything?
No, I'm actually going to have to start wearing one when I go to work, but I don't
know. No, that's a different thing.
You work at Home Depot, and that's just a lower back thing.
That's a back support.
Yeah, no, I just have like a regular, one of those little snap braces. I don't have like one of those metal things that they put
on. They don't really do that anymore, to my knowledge.
Where do you work, by the way?
I'm a waitress.
Aha. At Home Depot?
No. I work for a hotel.
Okay. Hey, so here's the thing. This sneeze and back pull probably had nothing to do with your boyfriend. On the other hand, if he's putting pressure on you, tell him to lighten up a little bit.
That and the fact that you're a waitress and lifting things, you're going to be 21 now. People get low back problems. Pretty much everybody at some point.
So I'm pretty much just getting old.
Yeah, you do more stretching, relax, strength. Watch your posture.
Yoga.
Walking is good for the muscle and soft tissue injuries of the back. So just
it is?
Do some walking.
How about do some yoga? Get in that down dog position. Boyfriend, hop right on you. Be in the bone dog position. Tell you that yoga.
The back dog.
Yoga sounds ridiculous, but it stretches you out.
Yep.
I'm convinced that when I'm on my deathbed, the one thing I wish I would have done beside maybe learn to read would be
more yoga.
More stretching.
Yeah.
Just stretching. You can never argue with more stretching.
Yeah.
You got to stretch more. Yeah?
Yep. You're right.
Everyone should stretch.
True.
Yeah. Allie?
Yeah.
17?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Like, I've always dated older guys.
Uh-huh.
And every guy I've ever dated has fallen in love with me within 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
How many guys has that been?
Huh?
How many guys has that been?
Like, maybe 50.
50?
Yeah. I've dated
no.
four guys.
You're 17.
Yeah.
They've said I love you times yeah. 50 like they guys.
All, they've like all they say the same things, starting to say at the same times. Like I can predict what they're going to say before they say it.
What do they say?
They're just like, they're like, they tell me that I'm like just so special and they can't figure it out what it is about me, but they want to spend the rest of their life with me and all this other stuff.
And they're, and this is 50 guys.
Probably somewhere around that.
Anything we should know about the guys?
Hold on a second.
50 is actually 8. She's 17.
I was going to say, if she got to 11 guys, yeah. What is it with women?
Well, it's just 17-year-olds.
All right, but what is it with the guesstimation and the estimation?
Yeah,
no. Allie.
Yeah.
We're talking about 9 guys, not 50
no.
guys.
No, like, I've had to be the parent. My parents got divorced when I was 13, and, like, since then, I've basically been taking care of my mom and stuff. Like, when I was 15, we were living in Oklahoma, and I had to get a job and stuff to support my mom. And so, I've, like, really had to grow up. And then, like, right before I turned 16, I was raped and have a baby from it.
Oh.
And, like...
Oh, hold on. Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Keep yeah. going.
Well, and then, like, since then, I graduated from high school my junior year, and I'm a bank teller now. And, like, I've been dating a lot. Like, I've been trying, you know, to find Mr. Right or whatever, but sure. it's, like...
Do you have sex with these? Do you have sex with these
no.
guys?
No.
No.
Well, let's just do the math. You say it takes them 2 weeks to say I love you?
Yeah.
So that's, do that times 30, we have 60 weeks. That's more weeks than you've been as a bank teller.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so it can't even be 30 before. Guys. It can't be 30 guys even.
Okay, well
I've been dating before. Like, I've been...
All right, let's just say it's been a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
All right, so you're so beautiful and you're so magnetic, they can't stay away from you. What do you want from us?
I want to know, like, how to, like, I don't want them to fall in love with me, like...
Well, don't date them, then.
Well, yeah, but I don't want to be single the rest of my life.
Do you only date guys that ask you out?
No. I've dated guys that I've asked out.
And those guys react the same way?
Yeah. I've dated, yeah,
you,
like,
hold
I've
on.
Dated
Look,
way older
you're
seven, guys.
You're 17.
Yeah.
Just because you had a kid when you were, you know, 15 doesn't mean you're an old maid now.
Well,
you're
no,
still 17.
I know.
What's the hurry, in other words?
Well, it's not really that, but it's, like, just, I'm tired of being lonely and stuff, and I, like, I want to find somebody that I, like, have a good connection with who doesn't fall in love with me in 2 weeks.
Who, well, look, first off, who raped you at 14 or 15?
Well, it happened right 2 weeks before I turned 16. Uh-huh. I know his name. I don't really know who he was. He was, like, a friend of a friend of a friend.
Was and it a date rape
he
kind
doesn't,
of thing?
He doesn't
no,
know he...
like, we were hanging out in town, and we were supposed to go to a party, and I was supposed to go with my friend, but, like, she went to go get gas and never came back and, like, left me there, and I had no way to get back to my car, and he was supposed to give me a ride back to my car, and it was way out in the boonies in Oklahoma, and so he just raped me in his truck.
Ooh, you never told anybody?
No, like
okay. And he doesn't.
Like,
he doesn't know he has. He doesn't know he has a kid.
He does, and like I guess he doesn't care.
How about you get some money from him?
Because I make more money than he would. He doesn't.
Yeah, but he still owes. Know, he still has a responsibility to pay.
You could always use $180 a month, right?
Yeah, I guess, but then I don't really want my daughter to be a part of his life.
That doesn't matter. You just collect palimony.
Yeah. All right, well, anyway, Allie, here's the thing. Obviously, there's issues going on with you.
Yeah.
I don't really understand your predicament. There's guys that, all guys who meet you fall in love with you, but you don't want them to fall in love with you, and they're not the guys you want to fall in love with you. It's
got
to
be just the guys
yeah,
you're selecting.
Like, it's like you're calling up, you're saying, I have too much money to spend on a car. I don't know which one to get. Help me.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Well,
unless you can help us a little more, this isn't really a problem. The fact
I've
that every guy you date falls in love
guys.
With you.
I've dated all sorts of guys, all sorts of ages, and it happens every time.
Yeah, yeah. You're super hot stuff. What do you want us
but
to
I'm
say?
I'm not. That's the whole thing. I'm not.
Well, good. Then why don't you just fall in love with a guy who falls in love with you and call it a life?
Because I haven't fallen in love with one of them.
All right. You're 17.
Just don't
and
date
you have,
anybody
you have
then.
Issues
relax. Yeah.
Involving your dad that's going to prevent you from doing these
right.
things. So
the problem isn't so much that there's these guys that are falling in love with you, it's that you have no reciprocal feelings for them. You don't seem to have any feelings for anybody. And you use the fact that they get so quickly involved in, and so intensely involved
that you can't get involved with them. I know. You're lonely. You're whatever. How about some female friends?
Yes. That'd be much better for you. I don't like women, though. Well, we know
that. Allie, you have any girlfriends?
Yeah.
All right. Why don't you hang out with them a little bit and just act 17?
I do. Like, I have been a lot.
Okay.
Good. Keep doing
Look,
that.
Look, the next guy, you make sure you like him before you go on the first date.
Yeah, don't date with guys you're not very interested in. Be much more picky.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Look, there's no answer to this question. You date multiple guys, they always fall in love with you. What do you want us
Just
to
be
do?
Very, very careful. Go in realizing that if they're going to be that way, it better be somebody you're interested
How
in.
How about you break a battery over your head and scar yourself horribly?
I'll make a prediction, though. The guy that you go in with the expectation that because you're interested in him and you know that you're going to be liking him when he comes around to falling in love with you in 2 weeks, that will be the guy that magically doesn't fall in love with you.
Right.
Magically.
All right.
See how you sabotage?
Who are you talking to, me?
You, yeah.
Yeah, I sabotage. Where are we going here, Drew?
Annie?
Hi.
Annie, 18, what's up?
All right, well, here's my problem, gentlemen. Good to be on the phone with you.
Great talking to you, Annie.
Thanks. My boyfriend and I had great sex. And when I go home, whatever, I usually come during sex, and then if I'm whacking off myself, I would never be able to come.
Hey, so hold on a second. Adam.
Whacking yourself off.
Female whacking off.
Well,
I like that.
Off.
No, I like that. I like it when women say, give me head, too. It's aggressive, but it's
sorry.
It's becoming. All right, go ahead,
like
Annie.
Technology. All right, well, anyway, so we'd have great sex, but then if I was by myself and I was masturbating, I wouldn't be able to come picturing his face. Well, recently, he's lost a lot of weight, probably about 45 pounds. He was a football player.
Hold on. You would be able to come picturing his face?
I wouldn't.
Would not.
Like, I wouldn't be able to come, like, picturing us together.
Okay.
Why'd you throw that in? What's the meaning of that?
Picturing his face, which just seems
I couldn't visualize us together. I'd always have to visualize a different person with me.
Okay. All right. Why?
I don't know. But recently, he's lost, like, 45 pounds, slimmed down. He's really cut up now. And I can come masturbating, like, when I'm picturing him, like picturing us together, and it's great. But when I'm together, I can't come at all. Like,
what do you think that is?
I haven't come in the last 2 months. That's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if his weight has anything to do with it. Like,
she misses his stretch marks.
Did he have a part of his body that sort of hit you in the right way, in the right place, or something?
Man boob used to rub on her.
Well, he was a football player. So he was a fullback. So like he was always muscular. It was just he lost a lot of the weight after taking creatine shakes and whatnot. So after football season was over, so. I'm wondering, is the penis
Well,
long?
maybe you, well, all right, let's try to work this out. Maybe you like the extra sort of, thrust behind
Or maybe she felt safer
him.
With the big, being wrapped in the big.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is your dad a big guy?
Yeah.
Yeesh. No, yeesh. Just, what's that?
Hope not. I don't think
no. Here's the thing. The reason I asked if your dad was a big guy, and Drew, if I ever asked if someone's dad was a big guy,
never asked that.
I got the vibe that she's just attracted to a sort of manly man.
Mm.
I wasn't attracted. Like when I masturbate, that's the thing. Like I wasn't attracted to it.
Yeah, but look, you were having an orgasm when the guy was on top of you.
Is there something?
No,
is something?
No. I only come when I'm on top.
All right, well, sorry. The point is the guy was in you and you were having an orgasm.
Yes.
When he was at his playing weight. The point here, I'm going to talk to Drew for a second. I get the vibe that Annie, she's from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Cold climate.
Yeah.
Used to have a little extra girth in that climate.
Yeah, sure.
I get the vibe, and God bless her, because so many of these chicks are into these just little spindly sort of drawn sort of... these pouty little pretty heroin boys,
right.
And I like a chick that likes a girthy,
substantial
behemoth guy. Yeah, sir, they're throwback chicks.
Yeah,
I get the feeling her dad was a big guy.
Yeah.
I think she liked her dad or felt secure with him
felt like he
was a good
dad. Maybe that's it.
Part of being a dad is that big guy, the big thigh you can hang on to or hide behind when you're 4 years old.
You're right.
And I'm just think that she... That's her idea of male.
Or safety or something.
Safety and sexuality. And for women, the sexuality's all over the place.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
her idea of security and her idea of a man is a big, strong, girthy guy. Well, I'm going to see if she likes her dad. Annie?
Yeah.
Do you like your dad?
Not at all. That's what I was listening to, and I was like, that's interesting because we don't have a very good relationship.
Ooh. What happened? Why not?
Well, nothing. He's just a workaholic. Like, we don't get to see him much, and it's usually my mom who's kind of the glue that holds our family together.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, like, I mean, we have a decent relationship. It's a working relationship, but it's definitely not, like, I'm not a daddy's girl.
See, I don't have a vibe on her. I can't figure it out.
But you do like a strong man, and this guy's...
He's maintained the same strength. He's just slimmed down. I mean, he had...
Do you think there's something you were able to press on when he was bigger that you just can't get?
I'm wondering, is the penis enlarged? Is it more erect? When you're a larger...
No, it's the other way around. The other way around.
Really?
But there's more mound there to push your perineum into, you know what I mean? To hit some spots, maybe.
More mound by the pound. All right, look, who cares? The guy looks better with his shirt off. You guys will work it out.
It's a weird thing. I think you got to work it out.
Have him give you a little oral.
And that will be good.
And here's the thing with chicks. You having issues with dad, and dad being a big guy, but you not particularly like him.
It's going to be all over the place.
That could help
the
orgasm.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like if you're a victim of rape or whatever it is, you want to relive those situations in the bedroom.
You women, you know what you are?
You're like a roulette ball. Who the hell knows what slot you're going to... just like somebody gave the roulette wheel a mighty spin and that ball just... You know, it just bounces
and
around.
And by the way, it changes moment to moment, day to day.
It's just it's hopping all over the place. And we're nothing. We're like a conveyor belt with the same product just coming down just over and over again.
The belt you put your food on to get to the cashier.
Yeah. Now, once in a while, the belt speeds up a little. Yeah. Sometimes it slows down a little. And sometimes it stops.
That's it.
You hear that? Then you got to go, something's jammed or something. But it's just same belt with the same product
on it.
Speeds up, slows down, stop, breaks a belt, but it just keeps going.
That's it.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, buddy, it's Loveline, man. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191-ER.
I'm still looking for couples who've had a drop in their sex life since having a kid. Particularly interested in women that have a biological drop where their libido goes away. Please call in. I want to talk to them.
All right. You ready to rock?
Let's go. Talk to Erica.
Erica?
Yep.
16?
Yep.
What's up, baby doll?
Okay, my boyfriend and I don't really want to, like, ask him for sex all the time because I know that he's not one of those people that likes human contact all the time.
Ooh.
And
what does that mean?
Well, he likes, like, cuddling and stuff, but he's not somebody who, like, loves having sex all the time.
How old is he? 80?
Hmm?
How old is he?
He's 18.
Whoa.
What?
Drew, you understand, Drew is the ambassador of passion, of passionia.
Okay.
He's the ambassador of passionia, which is a mythical island on a sea of semen. He doesn't understand this at all, and at 18...
Is he on medication?
Mind-boggling.
What?
Erica?
Yep.
Yeah. We got that crappy phone line.
Yeah, Erica?
Yeah.
There she is. Is he on medication?
No, I am.
You are? Yes. Bipolar?
No, not quite bipolar, but I mean, I know that I'm getting there because other people say that I am, but...
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm just on depression medications right now.
Okay, so being bipolar can be one of the reasons that you're very, very sexual. How many times a week do you need to have sex?
Well, I don't know, just probably 2 or 3, but I mean, normally... I mean, before, like, I met him, it was way more. And now that I met him, my sex drive went down a little bit because I understand him.
Yeah. Okay, here's the thing. There's a few reasons. First off, all guys have a different sexual metronome.
Uh-huh.
Drew's over here, his weight is slid all the way down to the bottom, and it's like tick, 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 tick. Some guys are like tick, tick, tick. So also, though, when their spidey sense starts tingling and they realize the chick's a little nutty and putting a little pressure on them weird, sometimes they recoil.
Also,
and they withdraw a little bit.
Also, I'm picking up on Erica. She sort of presents herself as the average person, but I think there's something really going on with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy that would be with that also got to really have something going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And
so let's kind of explore that
a little bit. Okay, that's sometimes. And then there's just the stupid 18-year-old guy just caught up and realizes.
He's backing off. I understand.
Somebody's nutty.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Erica?
Yep.
Is there more to you than meets the ear?
Yeah, there is, actually.
Are you, like, in a group home or something?
No, I'm not. I have I guess it's not too good of a relationship with my mom, but my dad and I have a really, really good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a perfectly fine relationship with the rest of my family. It's just my mom and I don't really get along that much.
Yeah, it's not enough, though. What else is going on? Are you in high school?
No, I'm not, actually.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you're 16. Why not?
Because I got held back.
And then you just dropped out?
No, I didn't, actually. I guess you could say I'm in high school, but I actually take a night school class because I don't really like getting up early in the morning.
What kind of behavior problems do you have?
Mm-hmm.
It's just when people start questioning my attitude and what I'm doing, I really don't like that.
What kind of things were you doing? What kind of things were you doing?
Well, it's just like when my parents don't like what I'm doing.
What kind of things were you doing, Erica?
Well, what do you mean by what kind of things?
Well, what got you into trouble?
Normally what gets me in trouble is me just wanting to leave and go down to my boyfriend's house because he lives right down the road from me.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I like going down there and hanging out with him and his sister and his
parents. And what's, is he going to high school?
No, actually. He graduated early.
Yeah. What's he doing now?
He's...
Well, right now.
Right now? As in, like...
No, right this second. I mean, what's he doing with himself, generally?
He is... I just got back from his house, actually, and he's playing pool with a friend of his.
Got that in him. He's playing pool.
All right. And he's a professional hustler, or what's he do for a living?
No, he's going to college to be a car mechanic, actually.
College to be a car mechanic.
I see. Hold on a second.
So these things unravel when you start...
Yeah, so first off, I used to think graduating high school early was a good thing. Now I'm realizing if you're not Eastern Indian or Asian, you graduating from high school early. When I used to see graduate high school early, I pictured the 14-year-old Asian prodigy who, you know, played the cello.
Right. There is that. That exists.
Yeah, but
that's not who we're talking about.
Not on this show.
No.
Uh-uh. It's the Hesher guy. Didn't get along well with his counselor and the vice principal and took the SATs.
And just painted the picture of Erica dressing in black.
Got out of there.
Angry.
Yeah.
Not showing up in class, mouthing off to the teacher.
Yeah.
Bipolar.
All right.
Trauma survivor.
She can only have sex with her boyfriend.
And fighting with the mom, believe me. Not getting along with the mom. Wait to hear what's in that. There's going to be like wholesale abuse.
Erica, you got bigger fish to fry than a mechanic boyfriend that only wants to give it to you three times a week.
Well,
you got issues here.
I know that he wants it more than he actually shows.
But here's the thing, Erica. How about you stop rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic here and start focusing on your life?
I mean,
you have a boyfriend, you're having regular sex. Let's go ahead and put a check by that box and now try to figure out what you're going to do with the rest of your life in terms of employment, education, not fighting with your mom, all that stuff.
Well, the reason why I'm so vocally involved with my mom is because I'm in three different speech and debate classes and I'm going to graduate and probably going to go to a law school.
Yeah, first you got to go to college.
You're not even going to high school.
Yeah, what's your plan, Erica? You got to get with reality here.
Yeah, you plan on going to Stanford and getting a free ride for like a volleyball scholarship, and you're going pre-law, and you're not even in high school.
I'm in an alternative high school.
Yeah, but Erica.
Let me tell you something. Engineer Chris, sit up and enjoy this for a second, because as much vitriol as I have for right. junior college, wait till we get to alternative high school.
Well, not that.
You're walking around
in
flip-flops, smoking, calling your teachers by their first name is not an education, Missy.
But what college is going to take that? Out of high school.
No, you're not going anywhere. What are you doing? We knew you're gonna study law. Please.
But she's got to get going.
Get back into the mainstream of the high school over there. Graduate, take your SATs and do all that stuff and start applying at colleges.
I only have a week to go until I get into normal high school.
So. All right, good.
Good.
Get with the program. Then. Stop wearing black, stop mouthing off, be a model student, and maybe you'll get in somewhere good. That'd be great.
Yeah, here's the it's the delusional part of this that
my mom because I'm on the speech and debate team. No, yeah. Please.
And because I'm on this, because me and my mom go at it verbally every other day, and I call her the C word. I'm going to eventually pursue. I may be on the Supreme Court one day because of my overuse of the C word when we're arguing in the minivan on the way to the Circle K.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, everybody. I was a horrible high school student. But I knew I was a loser. I didn't have any delusions of grandeur. I got out of high school, I cleaned carpets. Here's the thing, if you're a horrible student, you know, if you're carrying a D average, you're not taking the SATs, you're not applying to anywhere, that's fine. What will motivate you to get it together is to say, whoa, I'm in trouble here. I got to start focusing. You just going, hey, I'm going to law school. When you're going to an alternative school, That's not realistic, and it sort of stops you from doing the work.
Well, it's fine that you want to do those things, but get focused on the here and now. Very focused on.
I got to say, okay, I don't want to sound excelling like in Corolla, high school, but I just got to say, everybody with their proclamations about what they're going to be doing. I'm going to be a recording artist. I'm going to be a rap star. I'm going to be a professional basketball player. I'm going to be a lawyer. No. It's not that those positions won't be filled by somebody, but you having the sexathon on the burnt rust colored carpet in your boyfriend's trailer and duking it out with your mom and going to the alternative school, you ain't on that list.
Not with that pedigree. You could get on that list.
Yeah, it's all, even the people that work hard and try like hell don't often get the opportunity to be lawyers, doctors, or what have you. You ain't even going to get a chance to try. Yeah, I really don't like this whole, you can do anything you want. We're feeding kids this line of crap, which you do anything you want. You can be anybody. Don't let anyone ever tell you. I'd rather just say, you know what? You're probably not going to be this unless you bust your hump. It's a little more realistic, right?
Yeah, you're not. You can be anything you want if you bust your hump.
Yeah,
and excel all the way. Keep excelling.
And then there's don't let anyone ever tell you can't do something. So when your application isn't accepted to Stanford because you have a 1.2 GPA and you got a 14, not a 1400, just straight 14 on the SAT, now you're mad at the guy who denied the application. Oh, getting in the way of my dream. I'll show you. All right, everybody, let's get realistic. Chris, what do you got? One math class over there?
No, one biology.
One biology. Now we got to talk about
yeah,
this.
Oh, yeah, labs coming up.
Yep, that's right.
I failed biology in high school. I could still probably help you.
I got a C in high school.
Oh, really?
Biology, yeah.
Yeah.
How you doing in this class?
Okay.
What are you studying?
Well, let me explain what the C
molecules
is.
Molecules.
I hope.
Oh, hold on. We're getting to it. Let me explain the C you got in biology in high school. He teacher knew he was Latin, so he said, "Did I fail?" And the teacher went, "C." And that he took that as getting
as a C. That's a C. Technically, it's a C.
He was just confirming that you failed the class.
Okay.
I had that problem,
exactly,
too.
Exactly, Adam. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's take ourselves a little break. We'll be back with Ryan. Why does he go limp when a girl wants to have sex? He can't seal the deal after this. Yeah, buddy. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ryan on the line. You want to ask engineer Chris what he's studying in biology?
Yeah, what are you studying in biology?
Molecules.
What about them?
You know, like how stuff breaks down and stuff like that, you know, inside.
Again, getting inside. A very clear picture
biology.
Of what he's learning.
Come on, buddy. Got to see. I'm telling you, I got to fail. And I failed biology.
Really?
Yeah, and they made me take science, which is, you know, Talk about
that was
stigma.
Like eighth grade.
For tards.
Yeah.
But so what are you studying? What, enzymes?
Enzymes, there you go.
Enzymes. So Michaelis Menten's kinetics?
Sure.
No.
I don't know that, but enzymes.
How enzymes work, what the energy kinetics are in enzymes?
Right, right, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay.
I'll bring my book in.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
What else?
Yeah, but by the way, the book is probably like from the 50s, has a picture of like a Sputnik on the front of it. Crazy blown up molecule pictures, and there's that guy with his hair slicked back and the horn rim glasses, molecules and you, the front. Yeah. Is it, how new is the book?
Miracles with Molecules.
I think it's this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I've not seen that. Every textbook I had in high school was at least 30 years old.
Wow.
Oh, so easily.
Stuff in the 40s.
Yeah,
oh,
the teens,
God.
A lot of the stuff. Yeah. Yeah. They all, it all smelled like Brill cream. I got to use stuff. Ryan?
Yeah.
So you're 24.
Yep.
You go limp when the girl wants to have sex.
I do.
Okay.
Not all the time.
Sometimes.
But when I'm sealing the deal with a new girl, I do. Mm-hmm. But if it's somebody that I've slept with before in the past, it's no problem.
All right.
You get anxious.
You're not a gamer.
You get nervous,
right? I don't get anxious. I get uninterested. I have the mentality of already after having sex, where I just want to grab a turkey sandwich and watch some Leno.
Well, before you have sex.
Aren't you into, don't you mean Kimmel, by the way? Aren't you into the person, though?
I think I'm more into the game.
All right, so with the people you're about to sleep with, you're not really attracted to?
No, I'm...
Don't do it, then. I have no sympathy for guys named Ryan who can't get boners. Here's the thing.
But I agree. If it's not something he's into, why?
Well, he's into the game.
Well, that's awful, really.
You mean the rapper?
I don't know. Just manipulating people and trying to...
I got that, Chris.
Okay.
Yeah, he's into the... he's into the thrill of the hunt. Yeah, manipulation. Look, if you find someone hot, you should want to sink your teeth into them for the love of Christ.
That's
at
why
24.
I think he's not. He's,
something's up.
Yeah.
And then and he's just passing it off. As, oh, he's so debonair. He's such a sportsman that, no, you have issues.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You need to find a girl.
Actually have a relationship.
Settle in and just get into a thing. And let me ask you this, Drew. Here's a hypothetical. Wonder what the answer to this would be. Some people perform well under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Most successful people perform well under pressure. When it's time for the big test or the big game, that's when they show up.
Okay.
And that's how life judges you.
All right.
Don't care what you do day in and day out. It's the auditions. It's the job interviews. It's the big test.
Uh-huh.
And these are the ones these people seem to ace all the time.
All right.
What about a guy... You see these athletes, you know, there's 50,000 people screaming in the stands. It's full count. It's the ninth inning.
That's when they like it.
It doesn't seem to affect them.
Yeah, yeah.
One way or the other. If they're going to get a hit, they're going to get a hit. It's the same as like they're in spring training with nobody in the stands.
Right.
Does that same guy, does he lose his erection with a girl?
Those guys, though, are just into intense experiences. And so they lose interest very easily. They're still, he's still okay. But he'll move on to something else readily.
But if you show me a guy who loses his boner...
He won't lose his boner.
...at the end of the date...
No.
I'll show you a guy who's gonna strike out.
Yeah,
in the clutch situation,
exactly.
Right?
I agree, yes. The guy that hits, that gets the triple, is
gets
a guy
that gets the home run when he's on the chick.
And loses interest very quickly, but ain't losing the boner.
Right. Shows up. Somebody ought to write a book on that, Drew. I don't mean the boner part. I just mean in life, you really don't have to show up most days, and then every once in a while, you got
to
show up and hit a home run, and then you go back to not showing up. Yeah.
You got to understand when you're supposed to show up.
All right.
Which is the hardest thing for people.
All right. So Ryan needs to find a chick and stick with her.
Yep.
And work it out. He ain't one of these bounce around guys.
Uh-uh.
Zach?
Yeah, but I have a feeling he's also somebody who can't be in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Zach?
17? Zach, can you hear us? He's talking to somebody. All right.
Ugh.
I'll get rid of Zach. I want to talk to...
Three.
Chelsea. Chelsea?
Yeah?
21? You're fat and you're afraid to lose weight.
Yeah. Basically.
Were you sexually abused or something growing up or physically abused?
When I was three, my grandfather had me perform oral sex on him. Actually.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Every grandfather.
Yeah. Everyone had to do that for Lotsy.
but Chelsea, that is, you know, this whole obesity crisis we've got in this country, and people don't factor in things like this. It's a common reason that people maintain very high body weights is to sort of keep people off, keep people away.
Your grandfather, who I pray is dead, should have a flaming, sharpened mop handle just stuck right into his sternum and pinned against a wall. So we can, smell his viscerae burning underneath him. You performing oral on your grandfather is just... That guy just needs 1,000 deaths. I wish there was a hell.
Yeah.
And you said he is dead?
Yeah, he died of cirrhosis? Jaw cancer.
Jaw cancer.
Throat cancer. And
that's pretty bad.
He was chewed tobacco and...
Yeah, yeah.
All right, good. But ironically, you had to perform oral on him, and God gave him a nice dose of jaw cancer.
Yeah.
Awesome. Good. That's a horrible death. Fantastic.
But, Chelsea, this business of being fearful of other people and protecting yourself with your weight, you need to get over that.
I've tried. I've done, counseling and stuff, and it just seems like I'll do diets, and I'll lose some weight, and then and then I flip out and just put the weight back on.
How many years did you go to counseling for?
5, 6.
Wow. Well,
but
touche.
The thing is, one of the counselors, I used to act out in public, and one of the counselors asked me to act out for him. And so then that just flipped me out even more.
Performed oral on the counselor?
No, just he'd be show me how you're acting out.
Okay. Okay, here's
the thing,
Chelsea.
Who knows what was meant by that, yeah.
Work needs to be done.
Yes.
I don't know what to say. You know what you have to do. You have to start doing it. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Yeah, buddy. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er.
Yeah, and I'm still looking for couples who've had difficulty with their sex life since a baby. Okay, women who get shut down while they're breastfeeding, shut down after pregnancy, depression after pregnancy, and even men that get shut down after the mom. After your girlfriend, wife becomes a mom.
Really?
And we want to use you
freaked
for
out.
Discovery Health Channel. You're freaked out. We're going to come talk to you. So call in 1-800-LOVE-191.
Mm-hmm. When do you do that show?
We're doing it all. We've got one filming on April 9th and one on May 6th. And then we do the field. This will probably be a field piece. We kind of come to them probably.
Where do you tape the show?
In Burbank.
Nice.
Nice.
Nice. All right. Can Chris go?
Yeah.
Okay.
He can give some of the biology pointers.
Huh? Cool, I'll be there.
Yeah.
It's molecules.
That's all it is. And cells.
And cells.
Yeah.
Crystal?
Yes.
Summarizes biology.
You're 18?
Yes.
You just started working for an escort service?
Yes.
What do you do for the escort service?
I go on dates with girls and guys, and then I get money for it. Mm. And, I just started, today. I'm kind of nervous about it. My friend says, I'm not trusting the person yet.
Well, girls and guys you go out with?
Yeah. And then,
you have sex with them?
Yeah.
Yeesh.
How many girls do you go out with?
She said as many as you can, and then she told me one girl made in 4 hours for $1,400.
So this is a straight-out prostitution.
Hell yeah.
It is?
Yeah. What do you think it is?
Well, it's an escort service.
What would prostitution be in your mind?
I have no idea. The money just got me.
Okay, prostitution is money for sex.
Yeah.
Okay, was that what you're doing?
I'm trying to think, should I do it or should I not? And, I was kind of nervous.
All right, let's talk about the pros and the cons. Pro is you make money. The cons is you're having sex with ex-cons. It's actually literally cons.
Yes.
I know we're never going to get to the bottom of this with you, Crystal, but the part where you said girls and guys, how many women avail themselves of female escorts? Is there really a lot of the business ladies?
There's just this girl and her boyfriend that are doing this.
All right, Crystal, you need to get some help. This is crazy.
The girl and her boy? Oh, you mean you would go out with a couple?
Yeah, and she put my picture on the internet.
No, some couple picked this girl up and sort of pimped her out.
Oh, turned her out?
Yeah.
Is that what happened, Crystal? Hmm? Okay, hold on a second.
Oh, Crystal.
I know, I drive myself nuts. It's like a painful tooth I have to keep flicking with my tongue. But she started off by saying she's working for an escort service. She's going to go out with girls and with guys.
She's wishing. She's hoping that it's going to be a bunch of girls.
And make money. I'm very curious if
it's not going to be any women.
If any women ever use these escort services. I'm trying to figure that out from Crystal, but Crystal is either on Crystal or brain dead or having a lot of difficulty
this
tracking.
This couple that has sort of seduced her into this told her, oh, there are lots of girls you can go.
Well,
multiple.
Did she? Is this a couple? Crystal.
Yeah.
Let's just start, be extra, trying to think of a word.
Clear.
That's good. Clear. Like you just got out of the shower, okay?
Okay.
All right. Now, who got you into this business?
I called the Red Hot Dateline that the service had gave me before. Not this service, but the, that I got off the TV.
You called a number you got off the TV?
Yeah.
Okay. And you spoke to a male or a female?
Female.
And she said you can come to work for her.
Yeah.
And she said you will be going out on dates with males and with females.
Yes.
Right. Don't expect to meet too many females. And if you do, you're going to mistake them for males.
Oh.
If they look like females, when their pants come down, they're going to be males.
There's that one, and then there's the ones, then there's the diesel dykes.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's my thing. You're going to be going out with guys. Now, how does it work? You have a pager or something?
She calls me and asks me if I can go. And I'm like, if I can, I'll be like, yes, I can. If I can't, then I can't.
Okay, let me get this straight. All right. And so literal. Huh. I like that. And
concrete.
It would, a lot of the people that call this show, it would really be like if, I feel like, if your pet could talk.
Yes.
Like if your pet could actually had a way to communicate its thoughts.
Yes.
Verbally, it would be like... Good. I do not like the giblets food. I do like the other food that is not the giblets food.
But I'll eat the giblets food.
I would imagine that the early conversations you would have with the pet would go that way. Eventually, the pet would learn to would become conversational.
Someday.
It would be easier. All right. So, Crystal,
mm-hmm.
How much money can you get from one of these dates?
Either between $1,000 or almost like $2,000.
It'd either be 2,000 or 2,000?
1,000 or 2,000.
1,000 was the first one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or 2,000.
And you have to sleep with these people, right? You have to have sex with them. Where are your parents?
They're sleeping.
Yeah, but what would they say about this?
They don't know.
What would they say about this?
They'd probably kick my butt out or kick my butt.
Okay.
Have they kicked your butt in the past?
No.
They've never hit you before?
No, but I've been molested and raped.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where
we're getting to it.
That's where you sort of lost your compass on all these issues, where you don't really perceive how completely out of bounds this all is.
Who did who molested you, Crystal?
One of my family members.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Why don't you get some help with that? The answer to that abuse is not going to be prostitution.
Here's the problem, Crystal. You're going to do damage to yourself that is just as deep as the damage that was done to you when you were a little girl and you're being molested and raped.
Yeah, you're going to firm that all up. You're going to make that all cemented into your brain.
Cement's a building material?
Yeah.
Yeah. Crystal?
Yeah.
Here's our plan. All right. Tell me if you don't understand anything I'm saying.
Okay.
You started off a normal little girl. You got born into a family with bad people who made...
I was adopted.
All right. Well, there you go.
That was the first set of bad people you were born into.
Set number one, horrible biological parents.
Not,
but at least
not
they
to
were
say that
it, but good
people,
enough to put you
up. By the way,
for,
yeah, I'd say, not say that people that give up for adoption are horrible people. But,
well, they do when they give you up at four and the state makes you do it.
Yeah.
How old were you when you got adopted?
Like, not even a year old.
All right.
But still, a year. It's a big deal.
Okay, and the people adopted you, let bad things happen to you or did bad things to you. All right? You can't really be blamed for that stuff.
Right.
You were a victim. You were an innocent child. Now, unfortunately, you're an adult. And those things that were done to you are going to motivate you to go out and make other bad decisions. such as prostitution. And then what happens is your self-esteem gets lowered because you're degrading yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're with tons of guys.
You hate men.
You hate men.
You get an STD. You get pregnant.
You get pregnant. Then you have your own kid, and it's with one of the guys, and he's not around. And the whole cycle.
Except when he is around, he sexually abuses your kid.
The whole cycle repeats itself. So we're right at the cusp of that, right at the edge of that. How about we not go down that path? Let's just stop it right now.
I have a question, though.
Yeah.
If I were to fall in love with the actual man, because one time in ninth grade, I lost my virginity, and I had a flashback when I was molested. Would that affect me when I get married and have that special moment with my husband?
Well,
you won't be having any husband or special moments if you go down this path.
The part that's going to ruin the special moment is the 500 guys you were with.
Yeah, you'll hate men.
The Shriners you were with before you met your husband.
You will hate men. There will be no husband. It'll be hard to find a man that would stay with you. You will have difficulty with intimacy. That you're going down a path that will destroy those kinds of dreams.
Crystal, you sound like a little girl who's very confused, and you're going to get yourself into trouble.
Really, you're going down
a path.
Don't
act out. Do you have any female friends?
I am bi.
Uh-oh.
That's what she was hoping for, all the girls.
All right, do you have any female friends? I appreciate the bi proclamation. Do you have any ones that are not stupid?
Or crazy.
Or crazy. Can you spend more time with the non-crazy friends? Do you have any adults in your life that are not crazy or stupid?
I have at least one.
At least one.
Good.
What's my old health teacher.
Uh-huh. Ah. What's her name or his name?
Marcella.
Oh, wow. Wow, and talk about pronunciation on the last
that
name.
There, Anderson.
Well, she's a friend. She's a good person.
Okay.
And then there's another teacher. That
all right, hold on a second, Crystal. Why don't you go talk to your health teacher?
Yeah.
Tell her.
What's your plan in here?
Tell her what's going on in your life. And she's smart, and she's an adult, and she
can
help
you. There you go.
Do that. Don't go to work.
Don't for these people that are just exploiting you for money.
Right.
That's a project.
Yeah. Yeah. Got to open up those borders, so I'll tell you what.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Turn this place into a utopia. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How dare you?
Yeah, yeah. Let me tell you something.
We cannot judge.
Yeah. I'll tell you something in the Latino culture over there. Fair amount of this stuff going on.
The physical, the sexual abuse of the kids.
Did a little...
In the country.
Did a little work. Oh, out here, too.
Oh, in this country? I mean, in the city? Angeles?
Yeah, I went...
Well, but it makes sense. I mean, it got started on the farms in Chihuahua, and then they came up here and continued the cycle.
Yeah, they don't have the market cornered on this, but per capita, probably a little more of this kind of family sexual abuse stuff going on than there is in other cultures.
Hmm.
Learned that when I spent a little time. Spent some time with the SWAT team out in... where the hell was I?
SWAT team.
Yeah, did a man show bit.
Oh.
And spent some time with the SWAT team down in like the City of Commerce or something.
I'm going to be talking about this.
And one guy, all he did was these cases. Dads effing their daughters cases, basically. And he filled me in on how it goes down. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We can't judge.
No, no.
Impossible to judge. Physically, emotionally, and technically impossible to judge. I'm just saying there's certain cultures where this stuff goes on a little more than other cultures.
It's just a fact. It's nothing you're judging.
Can't judge. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying I may want to slow that down, focus on that just a little bit. Joe?
Yeah.
27?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I just had a question. I've been married for about 6 years, and I've just never, ever been able to get my wife to orgasm by penetration. We always have to do some type of oral sex or masturbation on her
Does she have a problem? Does she have a problem with that?
She doesn't. No, she. I mean, she likes it and stuff. It's for us. We've talked about it. We want to try to orgasm together. And
that. Forget about that, Joe. Just for. Right. That's no.
Yeah, you set the bar way too high.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, why don't you work on that teletransporting system that beams you to the East Coast in less than a second? As a little, something a little more realistic to spend your time on instead of a simultaneous orgasm. I gave up that dream about the time I gave up the dream to play in the NBA.
Now, I do believe that it may be possible to get her to have an orgasm with intercourse. I mean, just because she hasn't so far, it may be possible.
Yeah.
It's just not likely, and you're going to have to sort of... So you have to be very motivated, use a lot of lubricant, and...
Joe, how about you work a vibrator into the mix when you're having intercourse?
Okay.
Oh, really?
Well, that's easy.
Well, here's the thing.
I don't know. I'm up...
No. I know.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing about women. She can't help him with this. You know what I mean? He goes, well, what can I do? Well, I don't know.
All right.
I don't know
what's... Joe, let me tell you what to do. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Wine coolers again?
How did you know? Now, here's what you do, Joe. And here, all guys who want to work the vibrator into the equation, do not make the proclamation, I'm going down to the dildo store. You need anything? Because they're going to be like, oh, no, please, please, no, not me. And for women, half of the battle is just not being a person that says, I want you to go get one of these.
Yeah.
You go down to the sex shop and you get yourself one of these vibrators. And not the... You know, not the one shaped like Ron Jeremy or anything. Just a nice, smooth, you know, made in Taiwan, weird flesh color sort of bullety one, you know? Okay. Looks like a big lipstick case, you know? Nothing to it. Streamlined and smooth and fancy. And you you sneak it on home. And you don't pull it out in the kitchen and announce that we're going to be using this 3 or 4 hours later. You just bring it into the bedroom, slide it under the pillow. And familiarize yourself with it. Figure out how to work it. Turn it on with one hand. Don't put the Duracell batteries in there. The thing, lift off and go right for your ass. Go straight up like a rocket. Circle around. Pow! Right in the ass. Happened to me at least a half dozen times. No, put the cheap batteries with the picture of the cat on them or something, and then put it under the pillow or between the mattress and box spring. Then when you guys are getting intimate, all of a sudden you surprise her with it, not with a stabbing motion, but just a nice slow. Let her become friends with it. Let her get a little clitoral work with the thing. Then when you have sex with her, she works it in. She uses it. That could do it.
I also think you get ready to pick up a rhythm and let her sort of figure this out, because she's got to figure it out too.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Now you got to really hit a stride for a while and be better to sustain it.
Yeah. All right. Ready to rock?
Yep.
Tricia?
Hi.
What's up? You're 23.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is the last night, you guys. I have a very strange problem. My ex, I kind of think he might be gay.
Hmm.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Why?
Your ex.
Huh?
Your ex.
Yeah.
All right.
What makes you think this?
Well, we were dating for about 2 years, and for about the last year of it, I could not get him, I could not seduce him in any way. And there were just a lot of things that were very fishy. Like, I would walk into the bedroom, and he'd be laying down watching ESPN, and I'd try and seduce him, and he'd have a hard time.
ESPN?
On.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, he threw himself into sports, and his family's really homophobic, so his life is sports. He refuses to wear any clothing that isn't sports-related. He doesn't do anything that isn't sports-related, and he watches ESPN every second that he's at home.
Oh. So, well, you must really miss him.
Yeah. Well, and then on top of it, we would never have sex.
Huh.
All right.
You know.
Oh, okay, but hold on. I'd
immediately go to a chronic masturbator, cheater, other things before.
It's constant watching of sports.
It's all these little things that add up that, you know, everybody else seems to think he's...
All right, hold on. First off, what a horrible, compelling point she makes with the, I would come home and he would be watching ESPN.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I thought you were going to say Oxygen or
AMC.
Watching now back to Rock Hudson, starring with Rock Hudson and co-starring Rock Hudson
with Doris Day
and 12-pack. Or whatever the hell that what the hell's that movie with all the stupid cheaper by the dozen. Yeah. But he's watching sports highlights.
I know.
So he may be gay, and it's okay to be gay and watch sports, but not part of a traditional gay argument. He never stopped wearing jerseys and watching sports. Yes?
Yes.
All right. All right, Tricia, go on to a damning piece of evidence number two. He never stopped deer hunting and chugging Coors?
No, nothing like that. Okay, and the other thing is, there's a lot to it, though. It's not just any one of these little things you look at and you think,
sure.
Okay, that's not a big
yeah,
thing.
No, I mean, when you see a guy who likes sports, you immediately think gay.
No.
Immediately gay, no. But there's got to be more to
it. Yeah, the wearing jerseys in and the
when
balls around.
When I see that guy down at the Giants bar on Sunday wearing the Tiger Stripe sweatpants, the Giants helmet, and the Lawrence Taylor jersey.
Gay.
Big husky guy with a mustache. He's smoking and he's chugging a drawn beer. Yo, gay. Hey. What else does this guy do? Does he drive a big pickup truck and swing a hammer for a living?
No. But he's very feminine in a lot of ways. So it's such a contradiction. That's what I'm saying. It's all just so odd.
All right.
I would be the one walking into the living room asking, so how was your day? And he's crying like a baby on the couch. What's the matter? You know, is there anything I can help you with? Any problems at work? You don't love me enough. What?
Really?
I just came in for a beer. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened.
Wow. Like, Trisha keeps getting fatter the more she talks, by the way.
What?
You keep putting on weight in my mind's eye.
I'm getting fat? Oh, no.
As you talk.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Go ahead. So right. So he cries.
What? No.
So
no,
you dumped him. Did you dump him?
I did, because I thought he must have been cheating. And so I asked him about it. I didn't come screaming at him, claws out. I just said, you know, are you having an affair? Is there something we need to talk about? Or, you know, is this done?
Mm-hmm.
He threw a hissy fit like a girl.
All right. So, look, who knows if he's gay?
But the thing is,
Tricia, what's wrong with you?
She's taking his nuts, whatever it is.
Where's your dad? What's going on with you?
What's wrong with my dad?
Why are you angry?
Well, that's
I'm not angry.
I shouldn't say yeah. You know, we do talk to angry chicks. You're
this
not one of
angry,
them. You're just
no.
a ball buster.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Yes.
What I want to say, though, is he's a wonderful guy. And the reason why I'm curious about it isn't because I've got any rejection issues and I want to make myself feel better. It's the fact that I'm still really in love with him and I want to get back together with him.
Oh, what's
and
not to love?
I have talked to keeps telling me he's gay, and I'm in complete denial, or else I don't know.
Well, why are you so in love with this guy who just cries about work and then watches ESPN all day?
He's
a really,
gay.
Really good guy. He's a really good guy.
You can't do better than this?
Well,
somebody will have sex with you. Somebody
just put another 10 pounds on.
It's just not usually the thought you have in the back of your mind. So what happened with your last relationship? I wasn't sure if you like guys or girls. I don't know.
How much do you weigh, Tricia?
Me? I weigh 125.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. And how much is your right half weigh?
About 200.
About 200?
Mm-hmm.
He weighs about 200?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's just 125. Huh. What's wrong? You can't meet, are you attractive?
Yeah, I guess so.
How about you just meet a nice guy who wants to pay attention to you?
Well, because I don't know. It kind of seems around here everybody does the whole hoeing around thing, and I don't know. I'm not into that.
Around here? The state of Washington?
Yeah.
I got to move. Drew, you got to get up there.
I'm from the Midwest, so this is...
Oh, okay, but...
Wait a minute. I still got to revisit this guy's lying on the couch crying, you don't love me enough. If he was actually in love with you and you were busting his nuts the way you seem to do.
No, the thing is, though, I don't. I did everything. I really tried. I really did. And then since we broke up, now he can come out with the romance. And I'm not asking for dozens of roses. I don't care if it's an I love you on a gum wrapper. I don't care. But I tried the seduction. I tried.
Okay.
It's not making
sense. Tricia, here's what this is adding up to for me and my mind. This guy's no great shakes. He didn't seem that into you or passionate about you. Or whatever. You're just seeming like someone who doesn't feel like they can meet another guy. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
There's two types of love, Drew. Stop me if I'm wrong. there's a type of love where you're just really into the person, and therefore you love them very much. And then there's a type of love where I don't think I'm going to meet anybody else, therefore I still love this person.
It's sort of the clinging love.
I have to love them. It's sort of based
on desperation. Because
without
them, I'll be alone, and I'll be miserable, and I won't be able to handle it. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's no different than anything you have in life.
Yeah.
If you have a sort of a crappy, beat-up car, but it's your only car and your only way to get to work, you protect it, and if it gets towed, you're freaked out, whatever. And if you have a bunch of really nice ones, you wouldn't give a crap. You'd park that thing on the street with the windows open and care if it was raining.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
This seems like she has one car, it's beat up, and she wants to hang on to it with both hands.
Yep.
And I'm wondering what's wrong with her that she can't go out. She's passionate. She's 23. She's nice looking.
Meet other
go
people.
Go out and meet a 26-year-old guy who's into you. Right, just go do that.
Yeah, she needs to do that.
And look, don't backtrack. If you break up with someone,
there's a reason you broke up.
Especially if you think they're gay. Just keep going. Quit busting balls. We'll take a break. Yeah, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. It's Dr. Drew.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I really appreciate the Loveline listeners and callers. They've been coming through for me, and they're going to be the subjects of my television program. So it's going to be an all Loveline television show where people are getting offline, off the air here, and using them as objects for study. And we're tonight looking for people that have had a drop in their sex drive since babies.
Mm-hmm. Since they were just little babies?
No, since they had babies. When they had a baby, man, husbands, when the wife becomes a mom.
Babies having babies.
Babies having babies. They could be young. And we'll look into this a little bit.
All right. Let's talk to Nick, who's 16. Nick?
Hello.
What is up?
Hold on,
Nick. Here you go, dude.
Hello.
All right.
Hello.
Nick, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
All right.
This is where you talk.
Oh, I was just wondering, because I smoke pot every day. If I don't smoke pot,
Shocking.
Could not tell.
Hello?
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 Hello? Hello?
Hello?
How dare you suggest that people can tell when another's smoking pot?
I know.
That's just impossible to tell. It has no effect. I couldn't get through life without it.
So, Nick, you smoke pot every day.
Yeah, well, if I don't smoke pot, I have to have, like, something else, like pills or alcohol or something, you know?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's addiction.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Like, is it just pot? Like, is pot addictive by itself?
Yes, it is. For some people, not for everybody, but for some people.
Everything you really like and have trouble stopping doing.
They finally published an article. It came out through the National Institute on Drug Abuse that shows the power of the pleasant experience. In other words, if you initially, when you smoke pot, have an incredibly powerfully delightful experience, it predicts addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I've been saying forever, that when people, the first time they get high smoking pot, not necessarily the first time they use it, but first time they get high, feel like this is just the greatest experience. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be doing that every day from then on. Chris is shaking his head, yes. Engineer Chris.
Mm, yeah.
And you could be doing undergraduate, junior college biology at 29.
Yeah. Well, here's the... here's the thing. Obviously, if you're Nick and you're 16 and you're smoking weed, and on days you can't get weed, you're popping your stepmom's prescription pills or doing a few beers, hey, that's momentum. That's early and often.
That's,
I mean, at 16,
addiction.
Not being able to take a day off.
That's severe addiction.
Now, don't get me wrong. I have my medicine when I get home. When I get home every night.
But it's taken a few decades for you to develop this relationship with your medicine.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I'd gotten started earlier, it's 16. I didn't even think about it.
The anandamide system is what marijuana attaches to, and it's distributed widely throughout the brain. It's very active in a place called the amygdala, which is where a lot of our drives and the experiences of novelty and enjoyment are. And I even think there's an area called the anterior cingulate, which is where we experience connection with the world and other people, and that sort of light lit up. And then people that have had deficiencies in that area, been abandoned or let down or abused, this is the way to experience that for the first time sometimes.
Let me ask you this. I was just hearkening back on my own childhood, and there at the Corolla house, there was no booze, or I don't think there was any coffee, or we were really just like Jehovah's Witness. We really were. My dad was just cheap, and he wasn't into anything, and nobody did anything. There was no cigarettes to comp and no booze to water down, and there was nothing. And my dad never left town. Never. I mean, never went on a vacation.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? So it's just that boring sack sitting on the sofa, but there's no liquor cabinet to raid or anything. But
there was the neighbor's pantry.
Well, that's when I was babysitting, yeah. But here's the thing. I wonder, and when it came to things like coffee, I didn't even know that people under 25 drank coffee. I just didn't know it's something you did.
Right.
I imagined in some sort of alternate universe, if you're driving a truck across country, you could grab a coffee. But those guys were men, and right. Then maybe a college student every once in a while. But nobody drank coffee. Now everyone drinks coffee, mm-hmm. And you know, caffeine's it's a drug. Mm-hmm. I imagine. And so if you're 14 or 13 or 15, and you're just drinking coffees, I mean, you're just pulling into the Starbucks and getting the mocha latte and the whatevers, even if it's sweet stuff, I wonder if that just starts everything else. Like, I wonder if cigarettes follow more quickly. I wonder if other drugs.
There's actually no evidence that caffeine does that, but cigarettes do trigger an evolution.
Well, I don't know. First off, I'm not sure how much they've studied it, but here's all I'm saying. Participating in getting involved with the adult lifestyle prematurely.
Not a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, just when I was a kid, adults drank coffee, and if you were in high school or under, you didn't even really think about it. Just right. No one. Kids, it was kind of weird, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. Even if you're 16, 17, 18 years old, if...
No, when we were in high school, it would have been the equivalent to like a 6 or an 8-year-old drinking coffee now. Right?
Yeah.
It'd be weird like that. It'd be like, what? What, you're letting your 15-year-old drink coffee?
Yeah, it was about, in a weird way, it was sort of the same as a glass of wine or something.
Yeah.
Some families, beer, if they have like a 17-year-old, they'll give them some wine, you know, if it's a Passover or something. But to just do it at the dinner table would have been weird on a sort of
regular
non-event.
Basis, yeah.
Yeah. Night. So I'm just wondering if you're drinking coffee at 14 instead of 18, I just wonder if the adult life, I'm not blaming it all on coffee. I know
the whole
stupid,
oral sex thing kicks in at 14. And
I just start blowing guys, you start drinking coffee, and next thing you know, you're an old man at 17.
Yeah.
Or you know what I mean. That girl.
Something right. You wish for.
Yeah. Lucy?
Yeah, hi.
17?
Yeah, I'm 17, and my boyfriend, he's bipolar, and mm-hmm. he's a drug addict. He's been to rehab, and he's doing really well.
Good.
And we're in a serious relationship and everything, and I'm just kind of scared that he's taking Topamol, like all these drugs for bipolar. And our sex life, I mean, I lost it to him and everything because I felt really comfortable with him. But we have sex, like, really, like, 3 times a month, and it's just kind of strange because he's like 18, I'm 17, mm-hmm. and I don't know if it has to do with, you know, the drugs that he takes because of his bipolar disorder.
Hey, Maya, what's he on?
He's on Topamax or something like that. I don't know.
What else? What else?
It's just some antidepressant or something.
Which one?
She doesn't know.
She does. Topamax and?
She doesn't know the other one.
I don't know. I really don't know.
All right, well, that will shut people. Yeah, well, the Topamax, not so much, but the antidepressants can really shut you down sexually.
Well, maybe that's what's going on, yeah. Lucy.
The problem is, Lucy, you're sort of preoccupied about this being something wrong with the relationship or he's not attracted. No, he's on some medication that'll affect his sex drive. And 3 times a month is a little bit off an 18-year-old. I mean, it should be like more like twice that. But even so, it's you know, for somebody who's recovering from an illness and is trying to get over a very serious and life-threatening problem, it's not that far off.
But it's really weird because I've seen him without his medication, you know, once he was staying at a friend's house. And his attitude kind of changes toward, like, he's a lot more expressive and emotional.
Yeah, he'll head towards, listen, he'll become manic if you allow him to. His illness needs to be stabilized for a while before he comes off these medicines.
Well, will he eventually be coming off of these, like, medicines?
Probably some of the stuff, yeah, sure.
And he was also adoptive, and he doesn't like to talk about it at all. And it just, I don't know, I just feel like...
How old was he when he was adopted, do you know?
Well, he was a baby. He was like a little baby. Like, he was adopted right after he was given birth to.
Okay. So immediately. But here's the thing, Lucy. There's issues. This guy has issues.
Serious illnesses, Lucy.
And if you want to be his girlfriend, if you want to be the girlfriend of the guy who has a lot of issues, that's fine. God bless you. But this is what happens.
And you got to support his treatment. You not be making decisions about it for him or with him. He has two serious conditions. And he needs to follow direction. You need to support him on that.
And here's the other thing, too. I don't look at it as a cop-out if at 17 you just don't want a guy with a bunch of prior baggage. He's on a bunch of meds. He's manic-depressive. He was adopted. He's got baggage. He's got issues. I want to get laid, smoke a little weed. I want to go. I'm talking about me. My point is
the 16-year-old deciding that because he's more expressive when he's off meds, so we can unleash this bipolar and he'll kill himself. I mean, that's really...
Yeah,
that's okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, everyone's drinking coffee and becoming doctors at age 16, 17. Everyone's, knows more about medication than. Look, when I was growing up, I think I'd heard of penicillin. That was about it. There was none of this antidepressant, none of this. No one knew. It's just, look, there were troublemakers and there were nice
kids. Certainly you would have been on them had they been around. Yeah, yeah.
Kidding me?
Wouldn't that have been nice?
I would have had to take so many of them that my crap would look like it was rolled in there.
like a nuggety. Like a baby Ruth bar.
Baby Ruth bar. Just a Paxil. It's baby Ruth Paxil bar coming out of my ass. All right. Hey, phone screener Brian, is he on the is he on the job tonight?
Yeah.
I can tell because all these boring chicks with the crappy problems.
You want some more big boob problems?
I want some big jugs. Yeah, okay, yeah. Come on, buddy. What are you, allergic to boobs? Let's go. And I don't want to have to make the decree every other week. You just start doing it. That's it. Big boobs. I want some big boob calls every night. Every night I want a big boob call. All right. Well. All right. But listen, phone screener Brian, you care too much. That's your problem. It's all these chicks. You got all these problems, and everyone's a disaster. I want something fun. I want something I can think about on the ride home.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I hope I don't pass any trucks, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I noticed they weave out of the way of that stuff.
They'll be able to see what I'm thinking about. Zach? Zach, you're 17.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. I can't deal with Zach.
Zach's been on hold. Look at the hold.
Oh, Zach's been on hold for 117 minutes. All right, now I have newfound passion and mercy for Zach. Go ahead, Zach.
All right, yeah, my girlfriend's vagina leaks weird stuff.
Oh, Zach, after waiting 2 hours, comes on and drops the S-bomb.
Drops the S-bomb 11 seconds into the call. God.
2 hours on hold, Zach. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right.
Here we go. Let's take a break.
He's been on hold for 2 hours. I'm going to cut him a slack. Cut him a little slack. So hang on for about 4 minutes, Zach. We'll get back with you and the leaking vagina after this. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. I like when Engineer Chris points the finger at me after.
After Anderson goes, let's go.
Go.
You just said go, so I was like.
All right. Hey, everybody, Loveline, blah, 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 blah. All right, now, when we left off, we were sort of speaking to Zach, who's now been on hold for 123 minutes. He used the S word about 12 seconds into the call. But I'm going to cut him a little slack because he's been on hold for 2 hours. Zach?
Yeah.
No swearing, please.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. Now, your girlfriend's vagina has been leaking.
Yeah.
What? Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
What do you mean?
It's, I don't know, it's some weird, like, gooey, nasty stuff.
And how do you, I mean, what, she shares this with you? How do you know that's something new? What?
It's been going on for about 2 months now.
Yeah, maybe she's always had that.
I don't know. I was just wondering if it's something.
Well, maybe she should go to the doctor.
Yeah, I think she's afraid to go to the doctor.
Well, tell her you spoke to Dr. Drew.
I said go. It's probably normal discharge, but, it just needs to be checked out to make sure it's not an STD or something.
We cut Zach off. I cut it short because I'm just playing a hunch, but I bet he's a cabaret singer.
Yeah, yeah. He's got to get on stage.
Got to get on stage.
And I feel an F-bomb coming, too, by the way.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. Risa?
Oh, yeah. Hello?
Or Risa? How do you pronounce your name?
Risa.
Right. What's going on?
You're 17?
Yeah.
And your boyfriend's getting circumcised?
Yeah, he hasn't been circumcised, but when we have sex, like, he gets so big that, like, he'll rip or get really sore if we have sex a lot, so he has to get circumcised.
Wow.
It's not about him getting big, it's just that's a common complication of not being circumcised.
Is he big anyway?
Yeah.
Wow. See, yeah, when you have the tight foreskin, it's sort of the equivalent to the guy who works out, puts a real tight T-shirt
on.
Yeah, it just looks that much bigger.
Right, she thinks that's what it is.
But it's probably a combination. I mean, he's got himself a nice honker, yes?
Yeah.
All right, so he has to get the circumcision.
Yeah, and I was just wondering how that will change his sex life and, like...
It will not change anything.
Nothing?
Well, we don't know that
It won't change anything.
Well,
that is not something guys report. That is magically, things are magically different. It doesn't change anything.
Well, no, she's not. Drew, you're so defensive about circumcision. I don't think she's saying it's going to be better. I think she's worried that it might be worse.
It doesn't change anything.
It could possibly change something.
I'm telling you, guys, don't report that it does.
Well, I can tell you he's going to be sensitive for quite some time. That's one thing that's
going to change. Well, because of the surgery, sure.
No, guys who aren't circumcised, when they become circumcised at this point in life, there's a sensitivity thing that's uncomfortable for quite some time. You're gonna have to work that. That's gonna have to be worked out. I'm sure you guys will overcome any obstacle, but there might be a little tweak. Could be better, could be worse. You work with it, you figure it out.
Okay, so
is she there? Did the phone?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
But phone lines are so bad. How long it would be like until
you got to talk to it. You got to talk to the doctor.
It's approximately 2 weeks. It depends what he needs to do, but it's about 2 weeks.
A couple weeks.
Okay.
All right. Well, what are you going to do?
What's the big mystery?
Wow. How horny are you? You can't make it 2 weeks?
Well, hey, he's all the way in Georgia, and I'm in California. I haven't seen him for a while. We only see each other, like, every month.
Well,
so what's the big deal?
Why doesn't he do it during the month he's not going to see you?
Yeah, that's what we were thinking, but I don't know, he hasn't got around to it yet or whatever.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what it is. It's like athletes scheduling a surgery for the off season.
Yes.
Make it through the season, then go under the scope.
Yes, of course.
Right, so he sees you, comes out from Georgia, bangs the bejesus out of you,
goes
back to Georgia and finds a top-notch moil. Because Georgia is lousy with moil.
Oh, really? They're just
lousy with them.
I heard they were out looking for work. Oh, it's because they're so bad, I guess.
There's tons and tons of moils in the Georgia area. And there you go. What the hell's he doing in Georgia? What's he doing in Georgia and you're in Northridge?
Going to Emory.
Well, going to college?
Actually, I met him online, and we've been going out for like a year and a half.
Yep.
What's he doing in Georgia?
He got his GED, and I don't know.
Okay. I'm telling you, people, GED worse than nothing.
Yeah.
It really is.
Nothing shows some initiative, some faith.
Look, if your daughter was dating a guy and you had a choice between the guy who got his GED and the guy who said high school wasn't for him, he dropped out, he started a business.
The latter.
In a heartbeat.
Uh-huh.
He had a GED. He's from Georgia. All right.
You've had people complain about the sensitivity issue after circumcisions?
Yes.
Who was it? You?
Yeah.
You with the
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Guys, Drew, I know you think you're an expert on anything. You're almost never right when you argue with me. So
I'm not arguing. I'm asking. I'm asking.
No, but I know you have momentum in the foreskin department. Here's the thing. Guys,
I have momentum with people making a lot out of it. That's my momentum. So they don't make a lot out of it.
No,
it's like,
they make too much out of it,
yes.
But you make nothing out of it. And the truth is a little closer to nothing, but there's something in between zero and way too much.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Guys who aren't circumcised, the head of their penis is sensitive because it's like the skin under your arm or something, as opposed to the palms of your hands. It just hasn't been exposed. It's been covered. So when you remove whatever, if you took a guy who was uncircumcised and you told him to pull the head of his penis out and just put it in his jeans and go jogging down the street, it would be weird and uncomfortable for him because it's sensitive. So it needs to be exposed to air, sunlight, whatever.
But it comes around pretty fast.
I would imagine it would come around fairly quickly, but there's going to be some initial sensitivity, I would guess.
Yes.
Chris.
Hello?
Chris, you're 19.
Yeah. I've smoked pot a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And I don't know if it has any effect, but since I've had sex with my girlfriend since then, I've had trouble keeping it up.
Probably not.
I don't think that's the pot. Was the pot laced with ecstasy or something?
I hope not.
Was there anything else you're doing? LSD, mushrooms, speed?
I drank a little bit, but I do that normally.
All right. You had a bad outing, and now you're all up in your head.
Did you panic when you were smoking pot?
Actually, I got very, very depressed, and I was talking about wanting to die.
All right, well...
Yeah, some people get panic and depressed.
You get freaked.
Yeah, people get these strange reactions from pot once in a while, and the panic-type reactions can be perpetuated. They can keep going, and that can make it difficult to have sex. And if you're still depressed since you smoked the pot, which is a very unusual reaction, you could still have trouble with sexual functioning as a result of that. That should pass, though.
But also, it's just...
If it doesn't, you have to get seen about something like that, because...
Here's the thing. There's nothing physiological going on with you. You got freaked out.
No, there can be. Almost any chemical can induce weird depressions in some people.
All right, yeah. It's called lightweight syndrome.
Yeah, it's lightweight.
All right, buddy, get over it. Get humping. We'll be back after this. Well, that's a show, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Tomorrow... being Tuesday's Big Jug Tuesday. Louis the 14th here. Yeah, I read that Roman numerology. Louis the 14th going to be in here tomorrow night. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. I'm going down to the dildo store. You need anything?
Yes, sir, Ms. Carolla.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.